Hey, good morning, Bethel Church. It's time to rejoice. Actually, that's what the name of the message is today, time to rejoice. And I want to talk to you about joy today, and I want to encourage us that in this season that we're living in, it's time to get full of joy. You know, I'm going to be using a lot of scripture today, so if I can encourage you, you might want to get a pen and paper, pull out your iPad, your computer, whatever. If you're already in front of your computer, I don't know if you can do two things at once. I'm not sure I would be able to either, but lots of scripture today, probably more scripture than any time that I can remember in any recent history and maybe in the history of any message I've ever given. So lots of scripture today. Get ready to write down some notes, and while you're getting a pen or something to write with or trying to figure out how you're going to do that, I'd like to just say that I really do miss being with everybody, the doing church without the church gathering, you know, but I will also say that so far, the break in our regular meetings hasn't broken us. I'm still hearing from people. We're still connecting with each other. Sometimes we just wave as the car goes by, you know, just whatever's going on. It's been good. And I've been trying to, you know, stay in contact with some of you. Feel free to give me a call. Most of you have heard me give my number out. I don't know that I'll give it out right here. But or call the church office if you need my number, and we'll get back with you. So, you know, if you need anything, let us know. We are blessed, I think, and I'm excited that we have stayed blessed. A lot of people in this nation are going through a really tough time, but for the most part, I think our congregation's doing pretty good, and that's kind of good to know. No one that I know of in our congregation's come down with the virus. And to my knowledge, most of us are not struggling with overwhelming things right now, big problems. If you are struggling with something, don't hide it. You know, let me know. Let us know. Let the church see what we can do. We may not have all the answers, but we know who does have the answer, and that's a big deal. So we just need to work together to be there for each other. So today is Palm Sunday, and we're not at church today, as we all understand. I just want you to remember that Palm Sunday is the Sunday where we remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where he rode in on a donkey and by doing so fulfilled a prophecy and caused people to know that he was saying, you know, that he was Messiah. Now, for those who are taking notes, here's the first scripture. And as I said, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture today. First scripture, Luke chapter 19, verse 37 through 40. This is one of four accounts of the triumphal entry that are found in the four Gospels. So it's good for you to know that all the Gospels, sometimes only the synoptic, the first three, have everything, you know, in agreement, and then John's a little different. John included this. So this is an important moment, because it was the moment that Jesus was saying something that he wanted the whole world to know, that he came for them. He came for the whole world. So Luke chapter 19, verse 37 through 40, when he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in earth and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd and said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Joy is a big deal, and rejoicing is the release of joy. So, another scripture right off the bat. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Joy is a full one-third of the kingdom, if you will. It's a big part of what God's doing. Righteousness, peace, and joy. People need joy. And if there was ever a time on this planet when the planet needed joy, it's now. This world is so full of fear and confusion right now, and we have the opportunity to be the people who come forward with joy and make them know that there's something still going on that's good, and that there is a good God who loves them. So how do we get joy that results in rejoicing into our lives in a tough time like this? Well, another scripture, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, you can't Google it. You can't go online and get it. You can't find it, you know, just by calling Amazon or sending an order into Amazon and have them deliver joy to you. It doesn't work like that. The health food stores are all closed, so you can't go down and buy it there. And by the way, they don't have it anyway, so that would be silly. Wouldn't it be great, by the way, if it came in like a spray can, you could just, like a spray tan, you could just spray joy on? You look joyful? Yeah, well, it doesn't work that way either. Is there a prescription for it? Yeah, not something you can get at the pharmacy. They try to give you drugs sometimes that they think will make you happier, but you're never going to get what you really need at a regular pharmacy. So is there a religious prescription for it? How about, I read 15 minutes of my Bible every day, and I pray for X number of minutes, and I memorize so many scriptures every week. You know, those things help, but that's not really the prescription for joy. According to the verse that we read in Galatians, joy comes from where? Well, it comes from the Spirit, and it is the fruit of the Spirit. So it comes like fruit comes. As we grow in the Spirit, we bear fruit. That makes sense. And the fruit, or one of the aspects of the fruit, is joy. So joy should be a natural result of us being in the Spirit, being people of the Spirit. And if we have joy, it will manifest then, it will show itself in rejoicing. I'm going to say that a couple of times during this message because it really is important for you to know if you aren't manifesting joy, if there's no rejoicing going on, you may be low on your joy tank and you might want to get it filled. So think of the metaphor that we have here. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Joy is an aspect of the Spirit that's like fruit. And how does fruit grow? Well, it grows in season, and it takes a certain amount of time in a season for fruit to develop and actually become ripe and ready. There are seasons that we have an abundance of joy, and during those seasons, maybe we need to learn to store up a little bit of that joy. That would be a good thing, so that what we are experiencing, we have to help us through other seasons. This is one of the reasons why it's really important to share our testimonies, by the way. And if you didn't see it earlier this week, I put up a little video to our Bethel Defiance Facebook page, and I asked you to create joy videos, not joy videos, testimony videos. And if you will get your testimony videos to us, we can rejoice with you in what God's doing, because God's still doing good things. I am hearing testimonies from people in the church. So come on, make a little testimony video and send it to, you can text it to 419-784-5433. That's the church phone number. That will work as a text. So text your video to that, or you can send your video to gotochurch@betheldefiance.com. Either one of those will work, and I'll get the video, and I will edit it up a little bit maybe and fit it in with some of what we're doing. So if I get some of those, you might be surprised to see some of those, and I'm looking forward to doing that. Not only will it encourage others when you send in your testimony, by the way, but it will also more firmly establish your own remembrance of what God did for you. And when you can remember what God's done, it speaks to what he will do again, and that will help you maintain joy. Because when God's done something good, aren't you rejoicing when you talk about it? Yeah, you're excited about it. And for you to be able to remember what God's done brings back to you the reality that he is taking care of you. And that's a good thing. So now, if this isn't your personal season for joy, think about this for a second. It doesn't mean that you can't participate in joy. In other words, if you don't have a lot of joy of your own to give, it doesn't mean there isn't joy to be found. Romans 12:15, another verse to write down, instructs us that we rejoice with those who rejoice. So again, the testimony that you give might give someone else an opportunity to rejoice with you as you rejoice, bringing joy into their life. Now that we've talked a little bit about when and how fruit grows, I'm going to think about this for a second. Where does fruit grow? Well, it grows on healthy plants. And what do we need for a plant to be healthy? Well, I found some things that will maybe help us picture this getting more joy in our life thing. First of all, a healthy plant needs light. Darkness stunts the growth of fruit. And Jesus encouraged us to walk in the light. He said, you know, the scripture says, walk in the light as if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The more light we are experiencing, the more fruit we can expect. And what does that look like to walk in the light? Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I had a Facebook friend just this week, and he's been shut up in his home, you know, under this thing that they call sheltering in place. And so he's been stuck, hasn't been able to go to work. And so he decided, that's probably the last couple of weeks, he decided that he was going to read through the entire Bible. And then he had an even cooler plan. He decided that he would read through the entire Bible in chronological order. There are Bibles out there that are available like that, and he happened to have one. So he started reading through the Bible in chronological order. By the way, I've done this, and it is pretty cool to read through the Bible that way, because you get to see, like, one of my favorite parts was the story of David and hearing in David's voice the things that he said in the Psalms as it was happening as you were reading about his story. It just gave a whole new light to things and felt completely different, honestly. It was a very cool experience. That is an opportunity for enlightenment, because the word will enlighten your being. And if you have light, that helps the fruit of the Spirit grow. Therefore, you're more likely to have more joy. What else does a plant need? Well, it needs food and water. And most fruitful trees have deep root systems that go down deep to get the food and the water. And when I think of that, I think of something we talk about all the time here. Relationship, 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 relationship. And it's like, wow, we can't have a relationship right now. Well, yes, maybe we can. We may not be able to see each other, but it might be one of the easiest times in history to stay in touch with people that you don't get to see. Now think about it. Social media, email, Facebook, FaceTime, texts, phone calls, cards, and letters. And by the way, our cards and letters move faster now than they ever have in history. You know, I mean, we aren't waiting for the Pony Express to take days to get the letter to somebody. You put it in the mail, and usually they get it pretty quickly. So we have opportunities to communicate all the time and continue to be in relationship with one another. And I've been trying to do some of that, and some of you are trying to do that. Very encouraging. I've already heard people in the church who have been calling each other. Let's do that. Let's do that a lot if we can over the next few weeks until this stay-at-home order is lifted. You know, one of the other things that's important about how fruit grows is the climate that it grows in. You know, it can't be just grown anywhere in some cases. There are certain things that can only grow in certain places. The atmosphere around you will affect the fruit in you. So joy comes naturally to the mind that's being influenced by the things of the Spirit. But when we are having a hard time finding joy, maybe we need to check our climate. So think about this a second. Are you watching the news a little too much right now? I mean, with this coronavirus thing, it's hard not to do. And I'll admit that I've watched a little bit more news than normal. Maybe a lot more news than normal. I'm wanting to understand what's going on, and I'm always thinking about, you know, when is this thing going to change? When are they going to let us get together again in groups? And by the way, right now, if we want to as a church, it is legal here in Defiance, Ohio, to gather as a church. I've checked into it. I know a church that's done it and is doing it, and it would be legal. Whether it's smart or not is another question, but it is legal, and the health department themselves verified this. So we could be gathering together, but right now we're trying to set an example, and we're trying to be careful and take care of each other. This will pass, and that's the exciting thing. But too much news can be like a freezing temperatures to a fruit tree, it's just not going to work. And so I want to encourage you to be careful about what you're listening to. And by the way, don't think of this as condemnation. I'm not trying to condemn me or you for watching a lot of news. But what I am saying is it might be an indication of why we're struggling to have joy, if we're struggling to have joy. So keep your mind in a place where these things are not keeping you from having the joy that the Lord wants you to have. You know, the media does its 24-hour a day, 7-day a week thing, and that's making a lot of people fearful. Perhaps we need to be careful not to let too much of that into our gardens, but rather be a fresh air, a warm breeze to people around us, bringing the joy that we have to them, because they probably need it if they've been doing nothing but watch the news. Now, another verse that is important to what we need in order to bear fruit and bear a lot of fruit is from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 2. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." You know, God trims off the things in our lives that are unnecessary so that we can be stronger and bear more fruit. Listen, if you feel like some things are being removed from your life right now, maybe that's a reason in and of itself to rejoice. Wow, didn't think about it that way, did you? It may just be that we are about to see something new grow in our lives and come to a level of joy we've not had before. So let me give you a whole bunch more scriptures now. If you haven't been writing them down, you're going to wish you had. The good news is this will be available, and you can go back and watch it again and write down all these scriptures. So take a moment if you haven't yet. Grab a pencil, piece of paper, because here we go. Some rapid verses for you to consider in this season where we need the joy of the Lord to get us through what we're going through. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. "My brethren, count it all joy." Let me say that again. "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." I know I've told this story so many times, but I'm going to tell it again because not everybody's probably heard it, and it's just the best illustration I have of this. When I was a young guy, freshman year in high school, I started, you know, in algebra and got a B my first 6 weeks. We had six-week grading periods, so we had six-week grading periods. Got a B, and then a low B, and then a C. And by the fourth grading period, I got a D. And a couple of the guys looked at me and they said, "You're in trouble because you're gonna be getting an F by the final 6 weeks. You may pass this class for the year, but you're gonna get an F on your grade card." And I said, I could do better if I wanted to. And they said, "No, you know, math builds on math. You're gonna be too far behind to catch up." And I looked at him. I said, "I could get an A if I wanted to." And they were like, "No, you couldn't." I said, "Yeah, I could." And one of them said, I'll bet you $5. Now, in 1972, I think that's when that would have been, my freshman year would have been 72, spring of my 72. Yeah, probably. That $5 was a lot of money to me. And then I had two guys betting me $5. So $10 was a lot of money to me. But that wasn't my only motivation, although it didn't hurt. But I started actually doing something. It's amazing what happens if you study. Like, wow, who'd have thought? I started actually reading the assignments and studying and paying attention. And when we had our first quiz, a quiz that came, I was ready. And when I got that quiz, I got through it very quickly and handed it in. And they were a little surprised to see me hand it in so quick. And the next day, the teacher hands out all the quizzes, and guess who got an A? And I hold my little A paper up, and I wiggle it in front of the two guys that are sitting in the next row. And they're looking at me like with their surprise, and I'm giggling because I started counting it joy to take tests. And for that entire grading period, it was a joy to me every time I took a test because I got all A's. And when the grading period was over, I got an A for that 6 weeks. And then I was enjoying myself so much that just to rub it in, I did it again for another 6 weeks. By the way, I never took their money, because I was having too much fun just showing them that I could do it. But I started to count it joy when I came into a test. It was something I'd never done in my educational career before, trust me. So it was amazing. That's the illustration that I think we should take when it comes to, you know, how do we do this? How do we count it joy when we fall into trials or tests? Well, we start looking for the opportunity to show how good God is. And we start realizing that if God allowed that test to come, he knows that we're ready to pass it. And that's something that a loving father does. So it's a shift in thinking. If trials are just problems and we respond to them in a negative way, it just becomes fear. It's just a problem and we're just afraid all the time. But if we see trials by faith and we respond to them positively, then we have a positive expectation. And the positive expectation is hope, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so as we start to have hope, we start to have faith, and then we see things come to pass. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. I want that level of joy. I really do. I want that level of joy where it's inexpressible. And quite honestly, I've had that sometimes. Like, wow. You know, I don't know how to say what I'm experiencing in God. I'm just so excited about it. And that joy is glorious. It's the kind of joy that isn't experienced without the victory of faith or believing. But victory never comes. Remember, victory never comes without opposition. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. Dear friends, do not be surprised, that's an important phrase, at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Don't be surprised. These things are going to happen. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Our battles lead to joy. You know, in the past, I used to read this verse and I used to think it was all about, you know, it was like an end time verse because it said, you know, when his glory will be revealed. And I was thinking, but here's the thing. I have come to realize that this is more than just about Christ's return. We are told in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we're going from glory to glory. It's a progressive thing where we're becoming more like him as we live our lives here on the earth. He wants to reveal his glory to us and to others through us. And that's a big deal. And what happens when we reach the place of rejoicing is that we have that full manifestation of what's really going on inside. But that can't happen unless we have a victory through faith. Does that make sense? Are you getting this? Good. Ultimately, at the end of time, all of God's glory is going to be revealed, but even now, we are growing in some of that. And some of that, which we won't have to wait till then to get, you know, all of it will be then, but we can get parts of it now, because God wants to reveal that to us. So each of us has a level of glory that we can experience now, and we see it, and it causes us to break forth in rejoicing. Very cool. In other words, our suffering, our struggles in this life are invitations to new levels of victory and greater levels of joy. Let me read that again because that's important. Our suffering, our struggles in this life are invitations to new levels of victory and greater levels of joy. Psalm 16 and verse 11 says, "In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." This might be perhaps the most important verse I'll give you this morning about joy. It's also kind of like, if you will, the fast track for joy. Real joy cannot be experienced outside of his presence. You can have a pseudo joy, a kind of joy, but if you're having joy, you should be paying attention to that his presence is there someplace. When you're overjoyed, the smile of God is right there in the midst of whatever you're full of joy about. And some people will say, well, I know people who get happy when they do something bad. Well, there's a difference between being happy and actually having joy. And I don't believe you can have real joy without the real presence of God. Now, we are promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Write it down. And while this is an absolute truth, I do believe that we need to experience the manifestation of that from time to time, too. I know he's always with me, but it's good when I know it enough that all of a sudden I find myself just rejoicing. And that's when his manifestation becomes real to me, and I remember who I am and whose I am. Psalm 126, verse 5 says, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy." Wow, even when things aren't going so well and we have some weeping that we're doing, we still have an opportunity to have joy. I remember that I mentioned earlier Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, and I said, "Rejoice with those who rejoice." That verse also says, "And weep with those who weep." Our care for one another positions us to sow seeds that will eventually bring a harvest of joy. So there are times when, even when we're weeping, we're preparing for something that's going to come down the road where the joy is going to grow out of that experience that we had. So if you've been in a season of weeping, well, be sure not to weep alone. Sometimes we just need to be there with you and help you and encourage you and remind you of verses like this one from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. "And let us not grow weary in while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." That time of weeping, you know, you may feel like giving up, but something is coming down the road. Hang in there. And if you're doing it alone, don't do it alone. Let us hang in there with you. So don't quit. Don't give up. And while you're waiting, Jeremiah 15, verse 16 says, "When your words came to me, I ate them, and they were joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty." Again, hearing, reading, consuming, and meditating on the Word of God is a key element to experiencing joy. It creates a root system that enables us to think the way God thinks. That's what it comes down to. If I'm reading what God's saying, if I'm filling myself with the Word of God, if I'm paying attention to how God's communicating to me, teaching me, and showing me things, it becomes powerful in me so that, again, I have that root system. When things are not going good, my mind goes back to what God's spoken to my heart, and I can rejoice even in the midst of hard times. Note also that this verse says, "We bear his name." I am a steward of the life I'm living. This really isn't my life. In fact, I don't live my life for him. I actually should be living my life as him.
You mean you think you're God?
No, I don't. But remember, 1 John 4:17 says, "As he is, so are we in this world." If I live my life as him, then I am filled with the joy that is found in him. And I want to be his representative, representing him, showing him and not me to everybody around me, which is why sometimes his joy will fill me in spite of me, because I'm doing his will in the earth and he's working through me by his Spirit. John 16, verse 24. Did you know there were this many joy verses in the Bible? I'm just scratching the surface. There's a lot of joy in the Bible, I can tell you that. John 16, verse 24 says, "Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full." Wow. Wow. We're supposed to ask, and he wants us to ask. And in the process of asking, we're going to receive, and we receive, we're going to be filled with joy. That's an amazing verse. Asking God to move in your life is actually a commandment. He's saying, do this. Like, this is what I want you to do. This is my purpose for you. Why does he command us to ask? So that he can make us our joy, or make us his joy-filled representative. And when we're filled with joy, we represent him well. You may not realize this, but your joy really isn't even about you. It's not optional. It's about the kingdom. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. My joy should be bigger than me. And I can't give away what I haven't got. So God wants me to give joy. He's going to fill me with joy. It's really great to have something that while I give it, gives to me. And that's really what joy does. As I give it, it flows through me and I experience it. A personal pity party is an insult to the Spirit of God in us. And it's a misrepresentation of the God we serve to the world that we live in. It's not selfish to ask God for something in the name of Jesus. It's actually selfish to not ask God for something in the name of Jesus. Wow. I know a lot of people say, oh, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about going to God and saying, God, you know, here's what I want. You said ask. And so, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking for this. And God's like, yes, I want to do that. And so we need to realize that it's not selfish to ask. It's selfish to not ask, because God wants to fulfill his promises to us so that he can show the world his promises through us. If you think it doesn't matter whether or not you're a joyful person, consider this verse, Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. When I read this verse, I was noticing the word wells. Not well, but wells. And I thought to myself, plural, not singular. Your salvation, your personal salvation, is a well of joy. And the salvation of other people, those people's wells are places of joy also. Every time we see a breakthrough in the Spirit in the lives of people, we draw water, refreshing water, for our lives, which brings us joy. Every time they see something in us, the salvation of God working out in us, the peace of God flowing through us. Salvation is more than just, you know, getting your ticket stamped for heaven. It's that sozo life, that you know, health and peace and safety and all that God wants to provide for us. God never intended for me to experience joy outside of my destiny, and my destiny is to see his salvation cover the earth and all people enter into that salvation. So salvation isn't just about, again, getting your ticket punched, but salvation is about keeping life and health and peace and God's kingdom flowing into myself and seeing it established in the hearts of others. That being said, there is something I want to show you about what filled Jesus with joy. Do you think it might be important for us to know what brought joy to Jesus himself? Well, Luke chapter 10 and verse 17 through 21. Verse 17 starts out this way. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample upon snakes and on scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And at that time, listen to this, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you have revealed them to the children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. Jesus was filled with joy because he saw his disciples experiencing the kingdom on earth in all of its fullness. That's exciting. He had joy in seeing darkness defeated and heaven on earth being established. That's what made Jesus happy. That's what filled Jesus with joy. That's what caused him to break out with rejoicing. It was a very powerful moment of joy, and that gave him the ability to do something else. Look at this verse. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wow. Wow. Think of it this way. Trial is a landing strip for the jumbo jet of joy. As we see beyond the trial, we become enabled to endure whatever resists us and receive ever-increasing joy from the Lord. Because that's what he did. He showed us that's how it's done. And we can do it too. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Sometimes I think we think of this as like God's got this big bag of joy. And we go to God and we ask for joy. And he gives us joy and we become strong. I'm not saying that that's completely wrong. But I was looking at this verse some time back, probably 30 years ago, and I started thinking, what if the joy of the Lord is where we're making him or giving God joy as he sees what's going on in us? What if the joy of the Lord is when he sees us doing what he's called us to do, and he's filled with joy, and as a result, it becomes strength to us? I want to give joy. I want to make it my joy, my aim to give joy to God all the days of my life. I want him to be filled with joy when he sees me get up in the morning and go after what he's given me to do for the day. I want to bring joy to my Father. And the more joy I bring to my Father, the more strength he's going to release into my life. Let me finish with this. And as I said earlier, rejoicing is the manifestation of joy. Have you ever seen a child get so excited that, you know, like there was just joy in them and then they couldn't hold still and they started jumping around and shaking and quaking and doing all that? Have you ever seen that? Sure. It's so cool to see. I got some grandkids. It's even more fun when you're a grandpa. I don't know why, but it's just really good to see them get all excited, you know. We used to sing this chorus based on this verse in Zephaniah 3:17. And that verse tells us that God breaks into singing because of his joy over us. God is sometimes like a kid, excited, and breaks into singing because he's so excited about what's going on in us. He has joy over us, and he expresses that joy. So, we sang this little chorus, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And then we sang these verses, saying things like, if you want joy, you can sing for it. If you want joy, you can shout for it. If you want joy, you can jump for it. Yeah, I know. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That was the song. It's not that we are manufacturing joy by what we do. But I do believe that as we shout, sing, jump, dance, do things as a form of worship to God, as a form of praise to God. As we do that, I believe it's just like a little kid who does something for us to make us smile. It brings joy to God, and the joy of the Lord becomes strength back to us. Strength to have joy ourselves in the seasons that are hard. Strength for us to have joy when things aren't easy. I believe God wants to give it to us all the time. So, if his joy is released upon us, we will be filled with it, and we will be able to give it to others. Powerful thing. Let's not let what we are going through right now rob us of the joy that God wants to give us. I believe this is a season, as I said earlier, where we need to let the joy of the Lord flow through us to others who need it badly. And I want you to become a garden hose where you're just, it's flowing out of you. Remember, the garden hose is all wet inside too when it's releasing that joy wherever it's spraying it. And you get what you give. Be the one who carries joy into a hurting world.